In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. Today is an awesome day. Now, typically, it's Wednesday, right? So that was, what does that mean? Word of God Wednesday. But today, we have a very special guest joining us today, Simone Riscala of the Philos Project. She's going to talk to us all about the amazing work that she's doing in the Lord's Vineyard. Can't wait to dive in and chat with her about what she's doing. So today is a special Wednesday, not Word of God Wednesday, but our very special guest, Simone Riscala, to talk to us about the Philos Project. And of course, would love for you to be part of the program today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, today is one of those days, kind of a mixed bag kind of day. You know, I started off like typical, got up, did some recordings, did my USCCB video recording, which will be up tomorrow on the USCCB website. It's every other Thursday I do a video reflection on the gospel readings for the Mass, like I said, every other Thursday, so that'll be tomorrow. So I did that today, went for my walk, got almost 8 miles in. I was feeling good, so I did a little extra few laps. The only downside to this day is my wife has the flu. You know, we spent our vacation last week in Hawaii, you know, for our wedding anniversary, and right toward the end of the trip, she started getting sick, and she ended up with the flu. So I had to do a little TLC today, you know, to make sure she's okay before I did the show today. But she's fine. She's on the road to recovery. She's feeling better today than she has over the past couple days. So, yeah, it comes with the territory, you know, of marriage, taking care of your spouse when they're sick. And, you know, I'm not the greatest caretaker in the world, but I basically what I do, typical guy, just ask what she needs instead of like, let me try to anticipate your needs. And that's not me. You got to tell me what I need to do. You know, it's a typical guy. Just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. You know, so that's what she's been doing. And I've been very happy to help her while she's enduring this illness. So she had to be off of work. You know, she's a clinical therapist, so she's been off of work this whole week so far. And so pray for her that she recovers quickly. And again, she's feeling much better today than she has over the past couple of days. So I think she's definitely on the other side of it. Today, I'm going to be speaking this weekend. I'm giving a retreat for deacons and their wives in the Diocese of Rapid City, South Dakota. So I've been preparing today, praying through my talks I'm going to give this weekend at that deacon retreat, deacon and wives retreat. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And of course, next week, very much looking forward to being at the EWTN radio conference in Washington, D.C. I'll be giving a talk at the Basilica at the National Shrine of Our Lady there in Washington, D.C. Also staying for the EWTN family celebration, which is the Saturday after the radio conference, so next Saturday. And very excited about that. Love being part of these EWTN events, you know, and getting to meet in person members of our EWTN family, both from radio and television. So I always enjoy meeting folks who are part of the EWTN family. Who's also part of the family are the people that bring in this show each and every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who screens your call. I think Michael McCall is back on social media today. But we have our producer who's here, who's faithful, who I will see in person next week. We're going to grab a meal together, maybe see some music together. The one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, the Jazz Festival is going on all week next week while we're in D.C. So,
there you go.
If we can't hear it to the hotel room, then we can go and like gravitate to the field, take a lawn chair. We'll make the most of it.
Well, I was looking at the schedule, And there's a couple of nights where there's just like dinner on your own, or you know, see DC on your own kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's plenty of opportunities for us to get together and do something. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was going to ask you, I know you're not much onto social media, but have you caught on to the trend of what's being called the Whitney Challenge?
No, fill me in.
Okay, so you know the song, or I should say the cover of Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the, you know, the infamous pause before the hit, you know, and then the end, you know, big note, right?
Oh, yeah.
The goosebump moment, right?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing the Whitney Challenge for drummers, or anyone, but if you feel like you have rhythm, where they will play the song and you have to anticipate when the hit's going to come. And so it's like bragging, like drummer bragging rights of that you can hit it without counting, you know. And so it's become the trend through the summer of places, instead of, in addition to like karaoke stuff, they'll have the Whitney Challenge and you can see if you can hit it on beat.
Ah, okay. And you can't count, because that's the easiest way. It's just in your
they
head.
Say you can't, but it, I mean, obviously, if it, it, to me, it's a matter of just hitting it, because the thing that's funny is that even the drummer in studio had a click track. So give him some rest. So, you know, nobody's, and most live shows now, because of like all the video interaction, everything is done with a click. So drummers, it's not a matter of can you, it's when you. And so whatever level you're on, whether you're a studio musician or you're on stage, you know, even Dave Grohl on some of the Nirvana stuff has admitted to having clicks, because he was known to speed up when he was left to his own devices. And so he locked in and he's like, you know, it's not so bad. Like, you know, if it helps me not have to think about it, then that's even better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get that. But I could definitely see that in the studio, or some, you know, where you're doing production and, you know, kind of precision is kind of the key to, but live, you know, if it's a little bit faster, so it's live, you know,
sure.
So I'm okay with the song being a little bit faster and not being exact tempo.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. I think the click track live is because there's a lot of video production, a lot of lighting and timing kinds of things, which I think is good. I think it's great for production value for live shows, but also I think the downside of it a little bit is, you know, if you want to just have a feel, you want to feel something in the song, and you want to, you know, do an extra measure, or you want to do something, but you can't because it has to sync up with the choreography.
Sure.
You know, I think it takes away a little bit of if it's too overproduced, I think it takes away a little bit of the live feel.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the creativity that could happen during a live show.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen it, you know, both ways. I think in some cases they'll do they'll extend the click track, so to speak, and add room to say, okay, you have X number of measures more, you know, at this point in the song. And so it's either a place where they'll interact with the crowd and it's just the drummer playing, or it's guitar solos or whatever. So they found a way to trick us so that we don't necessarily know that that's what's happening. But, you know, to show the man behind the curtain, you're like, yeah, there's no way this video is all timed out based on, you know, it's not like a DJ light that plays to the room, and when the beat stops, the music or the video stops, right? It's all, you know, there's a method to the madness.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would work well for groups like, for example, Dream Theater, who play the songs exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because especially some of the doubling parts with the keyboards and guitar is just sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're playing legato lines and they're playing arpeggios at such a rapid pace. You know, and people expect that. Like, mm-hmm. fans of Dream Theater expect to sound just like the record, and they expect that same kind of precision live. So, yeah, so for them, you know, because I know there's videos. I've seen some of the on YouTube at their live shows. They have videos playing in the background, of course. Probably Mike Portnoy's playing to a click track, again, which makes sense, you know, in that context. But some bands that, you know, again, you know, I don't know. I think maybe playing a couple songs without the click track and just like letting it just rip.
Yeah.
yeah. I think it could be a lot of fun and spawn a lot of creativity for live shows.
Sure, but think of it like when you're praying, though. Sometimes it's nice to have a guideline and then to help you guide your prayers. Doesn't mean there's not room for free form.
Sure, you know? Sure. Yeah, like that's a great point, because I've obviously prayed the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, so I have the breviary.
Yeah.
But then, for example, if I'm praying a psalm and that line just hits me,
yeah.
I just stop.
Right.
You know, and I have the freedom to do that because I'm not praying with anybody else. I could just stop and say, oh, man, God just spoke to me just now. Let me just rest in the word.
Yeah.
You know, and allow that feeling, you know, to that Holy Spirit to overcome, overshadow me.
Amen.
I think that's just awesome.
Yep.
So, all right. Simone Riscala is our guest today, talking about the Philos Project on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you today. Be part of the program. Give us a call, my friends, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. See, that's a very interesting combination of genres. A kind of a hip-hop hillbilly. I don't know what you want to call that.
Sure.
Because it's got that boom, that heavy kind of bass, you know, like hip hop bass, but yet it's got the feel of, yeah.
And then whatever that was.
Awesome. Oh, that is awesome. See that mixing of genres? I like that.
Yeah.
That is cool.
I feel like we're in this day and age where genres just melt together. It's just music.
Yeah. 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 It kind of sounds like, what's that? Is it Periphery, that band? The guy with the tattoos on his neck is just mm-hmm. an incredible, incredible player. They mix a lot of genres, like classical and kind of metal, prog and rock and all kinds of things in their music as well. I like that. Willow's another one. Man, mm-hmm. I am digging her, man.
Yeah.
The way she's blending, like, you know, kind of Indian, Middle Eastern sounds with kind of R&B, just I think it's just really interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I agree.
Really, really catching my ear.
Yep. You know? It's good stuff.
I love that. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sibbridge, listening to Beacon of Truth. And normally it would be Word of God Wednesday today, but today we have a very special guest, Simone Riscala, talk to us about the Philos Project. Really interested to hear more about this. We'd love to hear from you today, my friends. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to give a big shout out. Celebrating 6 years with EWTN Radio is WNLK 1350 AM and 103.9 in Norwalk, Connecticut, and, of course, the surrounding area. So congrats to Steve Lee and the team there at Veritas Catholic Network from all of your friends at EWTN. Happy 6th.
My friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is where we take one of the Psalms from the Sefer Telechim, or the Book of Sung Praises, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, which is part of the Jewish hymnal, which we also use in our liturgical worship as Catholics. In every holy sacrifice of the Mass, we have the Psalms, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're continue our look at Psalm 18. So Psalm 18 is in Book 1 of the Psalms. All the Psalms in Book 1 are written by David, Psalms 1 through 41. The prescript or superscript of the psalm is very long, so I'm just going to just read the little part of it in Hebrew and the rest in English. It says, Lemen Zeach Ha David Ebed Elohim. So that for the choir master of David, the servant of the Lord. And the rest of it is, who spoke the words of this canticle to the Lord when he had been freed from the power of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said. So clearly David wrote this psalm after the persecution that he went through in 1 Samuel chapter about 17 or so, till the end of that book, about chapter 27 or so, we see he's being persecuted by Saul. And then after persecution ended, he wrote this psalm in praise and thanksgiving to God. So we're going to take a look at just a couple of verses, verses 21 and 22. David says, "The Lord rewarded me because I was just, repaid me for my hands were clean." Right. And so he gets rewarded for the Lord because of his just, because he was steadfast, even in the midst of persecution. He was steadfast and stayed faithful to the Lord. His hands were clean. The other hands, the people that were persecuting him were the hands that were dirty, the hands that were unclean. But his hands were clean in the eyes of God. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not fallen away from my God." I love that. So even in the midst of persecution and trials and difficulties, he was faithful to the Lord. Yes, during these difficult times, sometimes we question. Sometimes we even are a little bit filled with doubt, a little bit of hesitation about giving ourselves completely over to God and trusting him in times of trial and tribulation. But it's David, I think, here who gives us the key that even during these times, that he reminds us to be faithful to the Lord, not fall away from the Lord, to trust in him completely and fully with the entire gift of our lives. And with that, I'd like to bring on our guest today, Simone Riscala of the Philos Project. And before discovering her passion for the faith and her call to evangelize, she worked in marketing, communications, and media, and her first love, which was theater. She has a graduate degree in theological studies with an emphasis in systematic theology from Christendom College. That is no joke. I mean, that is a serious. I looked at that program when I was considering graduate programs. I ended up going to University of Dallas, but that's a very serious program. She's worked both at the parish level in both youth and adult formation at St. Ambrose Parish in Annandale, Virginia, and taught high school seniors moral theology and church history when she chaired the theology department at St. Mary's Catholic High School in Phoenix. But now she's the director of Philos Catholic and a frequent guest on Catholic Answers Live and a faculty member at the Avila Institute. She's first generation American of Egyptian and Armenian descent, and she has a particular interest in matters of religious freedom, culture, and Eastern roots of the faith. So with that introduction, I'd like to bring on to the show now Simone Riscala, who we met at several months ago at Steubenville. And we were sitting out having some dinner and just getting to know each other. So I'm so thrilled to have you on the show today. Welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you, Deacon. I'm so happy to see you again. And yes, we were having dinner in Steubenville and during the week of the conclave. So it was a very exciting.
That's right.
Very exciting time. I don't think anybody got a prophetic word that we were going to have an American Pope, but there you
that's
have
right.
it.
So that's right.
It's great to see you
that's
again.
So awesome. So yeah. Simone, this is your first time on the program. People may not be familiar with you. I gave just a brief bio of you, but tell us
sure.
a little bit about maybe your faith journey. Were you always Catholic? Are you a revert? And how'd you got involved in the work that you're doing now?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I would say I'm a revert, although I think I don't think I ever left receiving the Eucharist and going to Mass, but I was definitely flirting with the Greek Orthodox and the Reformed Baptists for a while, just trying to find, is the Catholic Church, you know, my final home. And I, you know, read some theology books and had a pretty strong intellectual reversion. And then when I met actual missionary disciples in the church through different lay ecclesial movements, that's when I thought, okay, this is my home. This is where I belong. And even though my education and my work has largely been in Roman Catholic context, I'm technically, I'm an Armenian Catholic. So I'm one of the 23 Eastern Catholic churches. So I don't know if too many people are aware of that, but there's 24 Catholic churches. The biggest one is the Roman Catholic Church, but there's 23 Eastern churches. So I'm very proud to be part of the Armenian Catholic Church. So that's
awesome.
A little bit of my reversion story.
Great. Great.
And then,
so tell us about this Philos Project and Philos Catholic. What is that? I'm sure people are hearing about this for the first time. You talked about it so beautifully, so eloquently when we had dinner. So I thought, man, this would be great for more people to find out about what this is and find out how they can get involved. So tell us about the Philos Project and Philos Catholic, which you direct.
Yes. Thank you so much, Deacon, for this opportunity. Yeah, I feel very blessed to be able to direct I'm the token Catholic at the Philos Project. So we have a token Jew and a token Catholic, and I'm the token Catholic. Although there are a lot of Catholic adjacent evangelicals at the Philos Project, so you never know. But yes, so, you know, the Philos Project was founded a little over 10 years ago as a way for American Christians of all different faith traditions to be formed and to remember that Christianity is a Middle Eastern thing. It started in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, and in the Near East. And if we really want to tap into the roots of the faith, we need to do kind of what you've been doing with the Psalms and in Hebrew and tapping into our Jewish roots, our Hebraic roots in Jerusalem and the Near East. So the Philos Project was founded to kind of revive religiosity and spirituality in the West by a spiritual return, you could say, to Jerusalem and to the Near East. And then on a very practical level, we fight anti-Semitism and we're friends of Jews and persecuted Christians in the Middle East who are suffering terribly. So that's kind of very much in general the Philos Project. The Philos Catholic Special Project, which I direct, again, you know how the Lord works, Deacon. It's all a surprise because I never imagined that I would study theology in my life. That was a big surprise. I never imagined I would work with youth and young adults at a parish. I never thought I would chair a theology department at a Catholic high school. I never thought, worked at a women's apostolate, cultivating women in the feminine genius, according to John Paul II's vision of a new feminism. So all of this has been a huge gift and surprise in my life. And I know your story had a lot of surprises. You didn't expect to be doing what you do. So that was a gift to hear at our dinner, right? But then I was asked to speak actually at Franciscan University. The first time I went to Franciscan University was actually in October of 2023. And in the months before then, I was asked to speak at a conference at Franciscan University on Catholics and anti-Semitism. And that conference was going to launch what is the Coalition of Catholics Against Anti-Semitism. And when I agreed to speak, because I always wanted an excuse to go to Franciscan University and, you know, see the school and so forth, I thought, well, I'd be happy to, I would love to gather with Jewish and Catholic scholars and speak there, but Catholics and anti-Semitism, you know, I thought we were maybe past this moment. I didn't really see it as a problem. I've never met a Roman Catholic who's anti-Semitic in real life. So that to me was very surprising. And then what ended up happening is not only was I kind of switched on to this growing problem in the church and the world, but then the conference, which took place 2 weeks after the Hamas attack on 10/7 on the anniversary of Nostra Aetate, and this is the 60th anniversary of Nostra Aetate this year during this Jubilee of Hope, which I find really prophetic. We couldn't have imagined that the uptick that already existed in terms of anti-Semitism would be even more exacerbated because of the war in the Middle East. So long story short, I guess a little long-winded, but I ended up taking over the Philos Catholic Special Project and the Coalition of Catholics Against Anti-Semitism.
Oh, that's great. That is so important. And we'll talk more about this in the next segment of the show, which we'll have much more time to really dive into this. But this idea of Catholics harboring anti-Semitism is very old. Goes mm-hmm. back to the early church, where they were blaming the Jews for killing Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And even right. some false things during World War II and the Holocaust and the role of Pius XII and all of that. And there's a little bit of a messy background there, but I'm so glad that you're working to help bring healing as far as the vision, and to really have Catholics be much more aware of their Jewish roots and to embrace those roots. All right. Simone Riscala is our guest today, talking about the Philos Project. Would love for you to be part of the program. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. S make the hand clap.
That's right.
As part of the dynamic in a song, you know?
I think I've told you this before. The claps on Jack and Diane were supposed to have been taken off, but after they recorded all the tracks, it just felt like it was missing something, so they put them back in. It was really
Was that acting like a click or something?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like claps? Just to hold the song together, and then they're like, well, actually the claps make it really work, and so they put them back in.
Yeah, when Brian May wrote "We Will Rock You," you know, he loved the way that the crowd were singing along with the songs and playing air guitar and that kind of stuff. So he wanted to write a song that the crowd could participate in.
Yep.
Feel like they were part of the band.
Yep.
And that's where the, you know, boom, boom, pop, you know, with the, and so obviously, which is iconic now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, every games and arenas, you know, are.
I play it every hockey game. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So is this any, Simone, is this this kind of music or anything that you participated in when you were doing theater?
A little bit. More the traditional musicals, but this is fun. This is really fun.
All right. Yeah, Ace and I love doing our little music commentaries during this part of the show. So
brings us joy.
Always fun. That's right.
I know.
That's
it's
right.
Joyful. I feel it.
I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Simone Riscala, talking about the Philos Project. And Philos Catholic, which she specifically directs, which helps Catholics fight against anti-Semitism. Would love for you to be part of the program. If you have a question for Simone, please give us a call. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as you listen each day, don't forget we're also here to pray with you, for you, and intercede in any way that we can, whether it's health, finances, just you're waiting for the next big thing, and we're ready to be here for you. If you've got a prayer request today, feel free to submit that, EWTN.com/prayer.
All right. So again, Simone Riscala is our very special guest talking about the Philos Project and Philos Catholic today on Beacon of Truth. If you have any questions about, you know, Christians in the Holy Land, questions about anti-Semitism in the church, we have the perfect person for you to ask today. Simone Riscala of the Philos Project and Philos Catholic, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I apologize, Simone, because sometimes I say Philos because I'm classically trained. So when I see that, I'm thinking, you know, the classical pronunciation.
It's a very common error for that.
Yeah.
Don't worry at all. Yeah. Don't worry. You're not technically wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us more again about how did this get started? You talked a little bit about your involvement in it, but how did this whole thing get started?
This whole thing with the coalition being founded at Francis
University. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was to commemorate the conference was initially to commemorate the shooting at the Pittsburgh synagogue. But then after the Hamas attack, everybody, all the Catholic and Jewish scholars that attended had to kind of redirect because the uptick in anti-Semitism just skyrocketed right after that as well. But that was the initial impulse is, you know, people in the church who were noticing that there are certain, you know, not good spaces and circles and corners, especially online and social media, that were kind of repeating kind of the centuries of anti-Judaic, anti-Semitic tropes. And they were noticing that this was happening and saying, you know, we need to kind of mobilize the Catholic community. I mean, that's kind of like the most kind of urgent thing. But you know, as you know, what it means to be a Catholic and to be in touch with our Jewish roots and to enjoy the depth of that, we really wanted to move forward the vision of John Paul II and Pope Benedict and Pope Francis and say that, you know, when we ignore our Jewish roots or we gloss over them or we don't know the Word of God, we don't know the Scriptures, we're really missing something essential about our Jewish Messiah and our Jewish Lady, you know, our Queen of Heaven and Earth. So, you know, it's we have to be friends of Jews and we have to follow the church's directives and impulses on building relationship, especially as you mentioned, after, you know, centuries of anti-Semitism and really bad history and being honest and truthful about that. But then we have to build culture together. You know, our values, our Christian values, our biblical values that come from the Torah, from the Hebrew Bible, from the Old Testament. And so we need to be shoulder to shoulder, to borrow a phrase from Nostra Aetate, and gather together as friends so that we can fight the larger cultural battles that we're facing with increasing secularism, the epidemic of loneliness, all the things that, you know, we're very sadly aware of.
So, Simone, you mentioned a couple of times now Nostra Aetate. Can you just, for our listeners and viewers on social media, YouTube and Facebook, that may not be familiar with that document, which document are you talking about, Nostra Aetate? What is that exactly?
Yeah. So in the Second Vatican Council, there were 16 documents. And one of them, I think it's the shortest one, or one of the shortest ones, is Nostra Aetate, which in Latin and English translates to in our time. So it's a very prophetic document. And it's on our relationship with non-Christian religions, particularly our Jewish elder brothers and sisters, as Pope St. John Paul II called them. I like how Pope Benedict referred to our Jewish fathers in the faith, you know? And it really did shift our orientation and redirect how we are supposed to pursue friendship with our Jewish friends and neighbors. So that short document in our time basically was clarifying that anti-Semitism is sinful. It's not part of the gospel. Anyone who is tempted to blame the Jews, you know, for the death of Jesus, it lifts, you could say, the deicide charge, which, you know, was never part of church teaching, but certainly historically has circulated a lot of homilies and traditions. So that it just clarifying that this is something that is a priority of the gospel, that not only are we not supposed to be anti-Semitic, that's very sinful, but that we're really missing out on the fullness of the gospel if we're not pursuing understanding and friendship and relationship and tapping into our Jewish roots. As Pius XI said, spiritually we are Semites, you know, and anti-Semitism is unacceptable.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Simone Riscala, who is the director of Philos Catholic, a frequent guest on Catholic Answers Live, and my guest today on Beacon of Truth, talking about the Philos Catholic, which she directs, helping to fight against anti-Semitism and having Catholics appreciate and embrace more deeply and fully the Jewish roots of our faith. If you have a question for Simone, would love for you to give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Will is calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Will, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there, Deacon. Hi there, Simone.
Hi.
I appreciate the Philos Project, and I think it's a wonderful concept. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on how we can reconcile some of our traditionalist brothers and sisters in the SSPX, SSPV, with traditional Catholicism and our views on Jews because of their kind of bent, you know, towards anti-Semitism and how it's bothersome and very, you know, it aggravates me when I hear those comments. So anyway, just interested in hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what I think about pretty much all day, every day. So I think, you know, when Deacon was asking me, you know, about my conversion reversion, one of the things that really led me away from the Catholic Church in my youth, and, you know, 80% of Catholics who leave the church leave by the age of 23, and that was my story. The average age that people kind of check out of faith is 13, 14, but 80% of Catholics leave by the age of 23, and that was definitely my story. And part of the reason is that I didn't feel that the Catholic parishes I was exposed to were doctrinally sound, traditional enough. There just wasn't a radical call to gift of self that young people, and I think all people, are ultimately looking for. On the other hand, when I started to find more traditional communities, then there was another reaction to the other extreme, which I kind of call accidental orthodoxy, which is instead of conforming yourself to the mystical body of Christ and to the magisterium, who is Mater et Magistra, mother and teacher, we agree with the church insofar as kind of she agrees with our thinking, which can happen on the left and it can happen on the right. But to be a Christian is to conform to the mind of Christ. So what I think this quote solution or the answer, listen, someone who has an anti-Judaic, anti-Semitic spirit, I leave those people to the Holy Spirit. But in terms of the masses of Catholics and American Catholics who are neither anti-Judaic nor anti-Semitic, the best thing that I can do as a Catholic, as a Christian, and as someone a Philos Catholic is to equip them with what it actually means to be a traditional Catholic. It doesn't mean to be a Catholic fundamentalist, but to be truly traditional. And part of what it means to be traditional is to follow the magisterium. And the magisterium has said really important things in the last 100 years about our relationships with the Jewish people. But one of the strategies we do try to use at Philos Catholic is to say, okay, if you don't trust Vatican II, if you don't trust Pope St. John Paul II, if you don't trust John the 23rd, if you don't trust Pope Benedict, that's fine. Let's look at St. Augustine. Let's look at St. Thomas Aquinas. Let's look at the Council of Trent. And that tradition is also there. So a lot of the work that I do, and I think the most important work that I do, is the educational part. Most people don't have time to sit and read through the church fathers and document after documents, but that is important, and that's a huge part of the mission at Philos Catholic. So I'm glad you asked your question. It's what I think about all day, every day.
Oh, all right. Great question, Will. Thank you so much for calling with your great and important question. If you have a question for Simone Riscala, our very special guest today, talking about the Philos Project, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So I know that you mentioned the Philos Catholic connects Catholics with their Hebraic roots in the Near East. And that's something that we should be embracing, because we read from the Old Testament. We read from the right. Psalms at every Mass. You know right. what I mean? And most of the prayers, the Berakah prayers, the blessing prayer, blessed are you, Lord God of our creation, because you have this bread to offer. The idea of the tabernacle. And the Lechem mm-hmm. HaPanim, the bread of the presence residing in the tabernacle. Book of Leviticus says, whenever the Lechem HaPanim is in the tabernacle, it has to be a light burning all the time. I mean, you look at our church, you look at our Mass, and you see the Jewish roots all over the place. You know, and I'm so grateful to folks like Dr. Scott Hahn and Dr. Brant Petrie, in particular, who have been drawing out, and Dr. John Bergsma, mm-hmm. been drawing out in very deep ways the roots, the Jewish roots of our faith, of our Catholic faith. And so I think if you are to really be Catholic, you must embrace the Jewish roots of our faith, and therefore you cannot possibly be anti-Semitic. Right. It's impossible for Catholic to be anti-Semitic, because that means you're rejecting the Jewish roots, which serve as the foundation. Jesus was Jewish. The Blessed Mother was Jewish. The apostles were Jewish, you know? So that would be rejecting literally part of who we are.
That's right. That's right. Scott Hahn says something in the Lamb's Supper. I'm going to paraphrase him, but until you fall in love with the Jewish people, until you fall in love with Israel, you can't really embrace our faith. And I think you express that very passionately, Deacon. It's crucial. It's crucial.
So let me be clear here. I want to make sure that people listening right now don't misinterpret or understand the Philos Project as taking sides in the current conflict that's happening in the Middle East and Israel. So it's like, because again, this goes back to Will's question. There's certain facets within certain branches of Catholicism, off branches, offshoots of Catholicism, where they're focusing on the politics. You know, you right. have to take a side in this current conflict. And it's more political rather than faith-based or theological, because what I like to focus on is the fact that we have our Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering greatly. They're not part of what's going on here, but they're being caught in the middle because of where they live, or because of they have a certain nationality. And they're being caught up in all of this, and a lot of them are leaving. So imagine the Holy Land without Christians in it, the place where the word became flesh incarnate, where our faith started with no Christians there. I mean, but it's getting to that point, and this is something that we need to be very aware of. But again, I just want to make sure that Philos Catholic is not a political organization taking political sides in the current conflict.
Thank you for clarifying that, Deacon. Everything we're proposing is theological and cultural and the teaching of the church to the, you know, faithful to the magisterium. So thank you for clarifying that, because it's really hard to disentangle politics, because there are political implications to the gospel, certainly, and you can never fully untangle the Jewish people from their safe place, which is the state of Israel. But everything that we're doing is on an educational and cultural level here, and something that the church herself has been asking us to do for a long time.
Yeah. So what are some of the ways that you help Catholics reconnect with their origins in Near Eastern Christianity? Because obviously, me and you, we both studied the graduate level, so we're familiar with things like the ANET, right? and different Suetonius and Platonius and different writers that talk about the historical roots of Judaism. But the regular listener would not be familiar with those documents. So how do you, at a very person in the pew level, help people connect with the origins of our faith in Near Eastern Christianity?
Well, I definitely love what you said about, you know, when when I take my Jewish friends to Mass and they've never been to Mass before, they're like, wow, this is like really Jewish. I'm like, yeah. It really, really is. And so I think what's kind of ironic about, you know, anti-Semitism creeping up in certain communities or offshoots, as you mentioned, is that the Tridentine Mass is actually more Jewish and more Hebraic than the New Mass, which is kind of funny. If you think about it that way. But I would say to go deep into the scriptures. I mean, truly to learn the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And you mentioned Scott Hahn, Brant Petrie. I love Brant Petrie, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary. I mean, my mother, my very strongly opinionated, Bible-loving mom, you know, says, you know, all the advocacy, you could do all the advocacy you can want about anti-Semitism. You can tell everyone, you know, this is sinful. Look, the Pope say it. But until they're accessing the Spirit of God found in the Word of God, it's just very hard to, like, capture the heart in a deep way. But that's what we try to do at Philos Catholic, is also just to educate. I mean, when you talk about Christians in the Near East, you know, 20% of Israel are not Jewish, and it's a safe place for them, for minority Christians living in Israel are able to practice their faith freely and safely. And, you know, Israel is the only, you know, Western values democracy in the Near East that isn't having Islamism kind of creeping down their neck every day. So, you know, that's also, that kind of education is also very important. And that's very meaningful for me. Again, I think God does everything on purpose. There are no coincidences. But, you know, as an Egyptian Armenian American, you know, and having basically our whole family's history determined by being genocided by Islamists, again, to clarify, not Muslims, not peaceful, loving Muslims, but Islamists, that kind of education is also very important for Westerners to study and to learn.
All right. We're talking with Simone Rizcala, who's our very special guest on Beacon of Truth today. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're talking about the Philos Project, particularly Philos Catholic, which he directs, that helps educate Catholics in the Hebraic roots of our Catholic faith and connects us more deeply with the Near Eastern Christianity origins of Catholicism. Would love to hear from you today. If you have questions about the project, about anti-Semitism and the history of the church, if you have any questions about anti-Semitism, what we can do as Catholics to fight against it, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, one of the things I think about all the time, especially when it comes to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Jewishness of it, is, you know, they offered basically two types of sacrifices. There was the zarach, or the shedding of blood sacrifice, the sprinkling of blood sacrifices. Also the asa, the non-bloody sacrifices, grain, wine, oil, incense. Like in Genesis 14:18, we see that Melchizedek shows up kind of out of nowhere, you know. And Abram, he's still Abram. He's exalted father, not Abraham, a father of multitudes. Because when God changes your name, he changes your purpose. But he's still Abram at this point. So he wins the battle. And what does Melchizedek offer? Bread and wine. In Psalm 110, Messianic Psalm of Fulfillment written by David says that the Messiah will be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So in the at the Last Supper, and which is consummated on the cross, Jesus fulfills both types of sacrifices perfectly, both the Zarach, the shedding of blood, and the Asa sacrifice. You know, so Jesus, again, showing the fulfillment of kind of the Jewish roots and the Jewish foundations that lead us to a deeper, intimate, more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't think you can really understand our faith really at a deep level unless you embrace the Jewish roots and the Jewishness of our foundations of our faith.
Yeah, and Deacon, I would also say that's absolutely 100% true. And also we want to also take our theology and off the pages and into real life. And actually, if you don't have Jewish friends, make a Jewish friend, do some outreach to the Jewish community, especially now when they're feeling very threatened and very scared. So we want to have the gospel kind of bleed into, that's what Catholic social teaching is, into like real life. So as long as the Jewish people remain kind of like a symbol or an abstraction or a fossil from the past, you know, we can't really be the witness, you know, here and now in this kind of very difficult time because of all the political issues. But again, these were problems that the Jewish community was facing in America and the West before the war 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And our very special guest is Simone Rizcala, talking about the Philos Project, and particularly Philos Catholic, which she directs. If you have any questions about the Philos Project, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. What else about the Philos Project we haven't discussed that you want people to know, Simone, that they take away with them after they listen to this show?
Well, I would love for, you know, if you'd like to add your name as a signatory to the Coalition of Catholics Against Anti-Semitism, it really means a lot to our Jewish friends and community. But also we have a wealth of resources, not just on our Jewish roots, but also on the Eastern Christian communities and churches and Eastern Catholic churches. So take a look at our website. Take a look at the Beyond Rome podcast that I host, which is committed to kind of exposing Roman Catholics to the Armenian Catholics, the Greek Catholics, the Maronite Catholics, the Lebanese Catholics. It's a lot of fun. But then also all those like documents, you know, that you were talking about, Deacon, you know, it's my way of kind of, we're all busy, but just giving people a taste and a flavor and education of all the wealth of what the body and tradition of the church has to say about the Jews and our relationship with Jews in Israel. So, and we have conferences, playlists, a course on Jewish Catholic relations. We have one coming up this October in Washington, D.C. at the Pope St. John Paul II Shrine. So there's a lot I would love to share with everybody. So please, you know, sign up for our newsletter and check out our podcast.
All right. Well, very quickly, I have one final caller here. Larry calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 130. Larry, welcome to Beacon of Truth. We just have a couple minutes left, my friend.
Hey,
Larry,
thank you, Simone. Yes. Do you hear me?
Hi.
Yes, I got you. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Really enjoy the show because I like hard-hitting topics like this. So my question to you, Simone, is how is your organization addressing the anti-Christian attacks that Jews carry out, not only in the Holy Land, but, for instance, the recent bombing of the church in Gaza Strip during this current conflict? And I thought that the apology from the Prime Minister of Israel was pretty lame, responding back to Pope Leo.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very hard, especially with AI, to know what's true and what's not true. But basically, we try to understand what is actually happening. And also to keep in mind that, you know, at least at Philos Catholic, we have now hosted 3 novenas for peace for Israel and our Middle Eastern Christian friends. So there's not much we can do geopolitically, or and it's, sometimes it's very hard to discern what's actually happening, but definitely philos, meaning friendship, building relationship, and praying and fasting is really important for lay people, especially in the West when we don't have much power and access to what's going on there.
All right. Great question. Thank you so much, Larry. What a great show today. Thank you so much for being with us, Simone. Would love to have you on again down the road. All right. Our topic tomorrow is the wisdom of St. Padre Pio. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EW10.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.